What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. We are discussing the Mecklenburg County Sheriff Gary Not My Fault McFadden, who deflects away responsibility while claiming he takes responsibility. But what about that? What about that? What about this? What about that other thing? That's what he does. The deflection is a tactic, and it's all part of this not my fault strategy when it comes to running the jail, which, by the way, at least four people have died in just the last 5 months whilst in the custody of the Mecklenburg County Sheriff's Office. McFadden says that the state is giving him a negative report because of those inmate deaths, not because of their deaths, but because he's black and his political views. He is a Democrat. The North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services is run by Cody Kinsley, a Democrat, appointed by Governor Roy Cooper, my good friend Ray, a Democrat. So I'm confused. Is it the Democrat administration that's targeting our Democrat sheriff because he's black? Is that what I'm to believe? Is that the accusation? That's what it sounds like. That's what he's saying. Hello, Pete. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
Hey, what's up?
I do recall that, you know, Sheriff McFadden was a long time, I guess, police officer and got promoted up to detective before his television career. But I also recall during the last election, I think it was your show, I could be wrong, but it had to be WBT, had on two other candidates, both people of color, one male, one female. And I recall that the female was released when Sheriff McFadden was originally elected because the sheriff, people serve at the will of the administrators, at the will of the sheriff, and she was not someone. So she immediately was hired up by Gaston County.
Correct.
I don't know if that was Sheriff Kleininger or new Sheriff Hawkins, but when you, I think it was you that had her on, that, and no offense to the other guy that was running for sheriff, but that lady was sharp, Pete.
Yeah, that was Gina
Hicks.
She
had answers to your... What was her name, sir?
Gina Hicks, and it was the debate that actually Brett Jensen moderated. I think it was put on by the FOP. I think it was the FOP that organized the debate, and Brett moderated it. I think they carried it. I think we carried it live, maybe, and then I took clips of it. But yeah, Gina Hicks was fired by McFadden even before he was sworn in, and that became a point of contention as to whether or not he was legally allowed to fire her. And then, yeah, she immediately went over to Gaston County, rather, and was put in charge, I think, of running their jail. That's how, because she was running our jail.
Right, right. She had a lot of qualifications. A gentleman earlier had spoke about, you know, it's an inspiration for people of color to see this. Well, I guess I'm a people of color, depending on what color you think I am. But this woman, the way she responded to questions, it's like she had a plan, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
She had the experience. She didn't have to think about stuff. She, you know, people that have been a mechanic 20 years, they don't have to think about stuff. Or a carpenter, they know how to build that staircase. That's what they've been doing for 25. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just thought the lady was impressive, and I thought it was disappointing she didn't get any more support in Mecklenburg County, but I'm sure that Sheriff Kleininger hired her right up, and then, you know, I'm sure she's still in a high-ranking official within Sheriff Hawkins, the Sheriff Department now. But let me let you go. I'm sure you have other callers, but thanks for your time. I sure appreciate it.
All right, Pete, I appreciate the call, man, and love the name. Great name. Gina Hicks. She ran our jail, and then he fired her. Our jail started having all these problems, and she went over to Gaston County, and as all these problems start coming out, and people are like, well, he just fired all the people that were running the jail, and like that, this is his fault. He's not a good leader. He's not a good manager. He's not a good administrator. And so what does he do? He's blaming other people. He deflects, right? He deflects away from, like, now you got the state coming in, and the state is doing inspections, and they're dinging him for, you know, corrections officers not making the rounds enough. And that's, by the way, partly due to the fact that it's short-staffed. And when he was told about this by his by some of his rank and file that told him, hey, we got a lot of vacancies, and then they had a sit-down with him at one point, he denies knowing anything about, oh, did you ever use the term short-staffed? Did you say short? Well, you didn't say short. You think I'm kidding about that? Like, this is from WFAE's story. Steve Harrison, Lisa Wharf, they interviewed a guy named Jeff Eason, a retired major with 30 years of experience that McFadden promoted in 2019 to the second highest post at the Maine Detention Center, who said much of the jail's problems were the result of McFadden's management style. And he recalls a meeting. This is at the very end of this lengthy piece. This is from 2022. He recalls a meeting in April of 2020. He said he and others told McFadden, quote, we're tired of being shorthanded. We're tired of being short-staffed. Whatever the reason, we need help. Eason said that he had documented the staffing shortage in weekly reports. McFadden was defensive. The first thing he says to me was, Major, did you tell me that you're short-staffed? I've never heard you say you were short-staffed. This is the first time I have heard of this. Why has no one ever told me about this? Eason said that he replied, well, yes, sir. Every Monday morning, I send you a report explaining exactly how many vacancies I have, how many people are out due to COVID, just normal sick leave, vacation, training, or whatever. Eason said that McFadden then implied that he should have done more. McFadden said, well, did you use the word short? And I said, no, sir, I did not. I gave you a breakdown of the vacancies. I didn't think I needed to use the actual word short. And Eason said that educated him real quick on McFadden's thought process. Right? Deflection. Like, oh, I didn't know anything about this. So who's in charge? Who's in charge? And by the way, when McFadden was asked about this for this story at WFAE, he responds, did he say whose problem is that? The short staffing? Who's over the detention center? This is what he's asking the reporters. When they ask McFadden about what Eason said, he says it was Eason who was responsible for the lack of staff. When told that McFadden is ultimately in charge of the detention center, McFadden continued to talk about Eason. Well, what's Major Eason's role? What is his role as a major? See what I mean? It's like, it's whataboutism. It's deflection. It's not my fault, McFadden. That's what he's doing. Not my fault. It's a Major Eason's fault. Now, see, oh, we got all this accreditation, and I love all my employees, except for the ones he fires, obviously, and then the ones that he trash talks, because they are like, he's not doing a good job managing this facility, or allowing the people who do know how to manage it. He's not letting them do their jobs, because there's details in this story also about how he kind of walks through the facility, and he gets one-on-one time with a bunch of the inmates. Sorry, the residents, right? He talks to them, and he gets rolled. He gets played by the inmates because they know if they talk to him, they can get stuff and that they can't get from the COs. So they'll tell him some stuff. Oh, I really need to get moved to this other pod. I really need to want to be in this other pod. And so he'll then make it happen for them. Oh, and it turns out, In the story, one of the example was that, oh, yeah, they didn't want this inmate getting transferred to that pod because that's where his cousin is. And they didn't want these two together. But McFadden doesn't know that. It's a management style. It's not a good one. Kirk would love to know why McFadden cannot testify in a court of law as a law enforcement officer. Yeah, that would be good to know. All right, so Sheriff Gary... Not my fault, McFadden, does a press conference yesterday and complains about the media coverage, complains about the state jail inspectors that are targeting him. He claims racism. You'll hear that in a minute. I want to get to more of these sound bites, though. Here he is, McFadden's. Oh, this is the whataboutism. And he says, look, we even offered to help the state, explain how we do things here and help them out with their inspection report.
We showed him examples of what we believe is the best way to calculate our job and our inspections and tours. And he simply said it didn't matter to him. He's going to go by the rules. Well, let me be clear on this also.
Hang on a second. He's going to go by the rules. Yes, I would recommend he do that as well. What I'm hearing McFadden say, and I will say again, I am not a McFadden interpreter. Okay, I don't understand a lot of the stuff that he says because of the way he says them. I'm the same way with Donald Trump. I sometimes do not understand what Trump is saying either. He's not a clear communicator. But what I just got from that is that these inspectors come through. They have some rules that they're following. He says, we got a better way to do it. And the inspectors are like, good for you. We're not doing it that way. We're going to follow the rules. And McFadden has a problem with that.
The deaths inside our detention center. At no time, let me point out, that during these death investigations, the jail inspectors never visit the pods or where the deaths occurred. They never interview staff. They never question what happened inside the detention center. They merely take a few sheets of paper or some documents and leave and then send us a report. They never interview staff. They never question staff. They never talk to me. They never talk to anyone maybe involved in any deaths here at our detention center. And that also raised a suspicion.
All right. So the state is identifying missed tours, right? But I guess his complaint is that the state is not asking for why it got missed, and he wants to be able to explain why it got missed, right? He wants his side of the story reflected in the inspection report, because then he's mad that the state does its report, and the media takes the report and reports on the report, and it makes it sound like he's not doing his job, when he totally is doing his job. And if you would just let him explain, then you would understand why all of these people are now dying in the jail that apparently were not dying at the numbers they are now dying at, right? So Chris Woods, he calls him, with the state, was the guy who came through, I guess, like a week or so ago on the first round for the inspection. And then the second round was like 2 days ago or so. And this was a fellow by the name of Charles Brown. I do not know their races, but I have to assume they are white guys. I have to assume, I don't know, because McFadden is accusing them of being racist. So Charles Brown comes back April 9th and asks for a lot of information on these pod tours that the corrections officers are making, which is like more than 2,000 a day or something like that.
Which was extremely unusual for my staff. They questioned him, and he simply said he can do what he wants to do. But he also said that this was a new process that North Carolina Department of Human Health Services had created over the past 2 weeks. So when my staff questioned him about if that is so, can we call the other agencies at that time to question this new process and procedure? To be fair.
Wait, to call what other agencies? You want to call around other law enforcement divisions or jails or something? Like, who are you talking about? That's what I mean. Like, all the things that he's saying are so nebulous, you don't know. Like, if you actually are trying to make a case in court, which I understand you may not be allowed to do anymore, but if you're trying to make a case in the court of public opinion, you got to come with some details. Like, oh, we had some staff, and they asked them some questions, and they're like, can we talk to some other agencies, law enforcement agencies, like jails? Like, you want to talk to other jailers? You want to find out what the new process is? You want to know if they're lying to you or something?
That town, Mr. Brown, for lack of better words, avoided my staff questions.
So he doesn't have to answer your staff's questions. You have a misunderstanding, I suspect, of the roles here, it sounds like. They are there to inspect you. They're not there to answer your questions. Think of it like my interaction with law enforcement, right? They're not there to be interrogated by me, right? If I get pulled over, the officer is not there to answer my questions. I am there to answer his, right? Or hers.
My staff alerted myself and our legal department, which is our lawyers.
And whoa, wait a minute. Your legal department is your lawyers? Hang on a second. I got to write that down because that is some new information.
He came to speak with Mr. Brown. And in questioning Mr. Brown, I will quote, "Mr. Brown, have you lied to my staff about the process and procedures that you are asking for?" And he simply says, "Yes, I have lied."
Wow, he cracked pretty quickly, huh? You just walked up there and you were like, "Yo, well, you've been lying to my people." And he's like, "I have been lying. I have lied." That was very fast. Here's my initial read on this. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. It is an incredible tale that you are telling me right now. That an inspector for the state came into your jail and made up a whole new set of procedures targeting you because they were racist, and they cracked under one question from you and admitted to lying. And not in like a joking way. Not like you were like, "Are you lying to my people?" And you were like, "Yeah, I'm totally lying." And now you're like, "Oh, he admitted he's lying." I have no idea if this is, it doesn't sound like a true story. That's what it sounds like to me right now. It doesn't sound like a true story.
So we are here today to say, how can we trust North Carolina Department of Health and Services to inspect our facilities fairly and just? Because now we have an inspector who clearly said he has lied. If he lied about this, what else has he lied about? Do we question all of this? We should. In law enforcement, if we do something wrong, you question it. You says, where's the accountability? I will question North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services now.
No, we got it.
Because simply a jail inspector said he has lied about his inspection or how he wants this to proceed.
Wait, so now you're saying he lied about his inspection and how he wants to proceed? Well, that's a different lie than what you just said. You just said that he lied about the process or the procedures that he was going through, not the stuff that he was going to do now. What is it? This is what I mean. I need to know, like, what is it that he said? Write it down. Can we get some affidavits, actually? Because that would be, I mean, you want to make this legit, like a real investigation. Like, how about put some people under oath? What do you think? What do you say? I'd like to know what Charles Brown, what his reaction to all of this is. State employee being accused of being a racist, corrupt liar who cracks under the most minute of pressure. Right? A single question from the sheriff and he just caves, right? Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Chris says on Sheriff McFadden, "Methinks he doth protest too much." Yeah, probably. A little bit. It's not all the dead people at the jail. The 4 deaths in 5 months. No, that's not the reason why the state is coming through with the inspections and asking for all of the records, these large volumes of records that he's like, whoa, why are you asking for all these records? No, it's because, well, he's asked about this. What do you think the motivation is for all of this, Sheriff? Not my fault, McFadden.
It could be motivated because of how I am and how I defend my agency.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's probably it. How you are and how you defend your agency. There, right, because the state's like, "Oh my gosh, look at this sheriff defending his state employees. Get him." Right? Yeah, I mean that could be a reason.
Now what I would love to say is this.
Okay.
Why me? Why now? Why only now?
Mm.
And we can say this. because I'm an African-American sheriff, like the other 8 African-American sheriffs that took over the state in North Carolina, and I can send you that article. Legislatures and politicians says we have to make them do whatever we need to do to make them listen. The woke sheriffs, and that's what they call us. So let's make note, I'm not going to beat around the bush. We are being targeted from day one because we decide to do certain things differently than any other sheriffs in the state. Make no question about it.
Okay, so it was because of your policies, not because everyone's racist? Is that what it was? Because you said race first. Like, you totally said it's because you're a black guy. So, again, not an interpreter for Not My Fault McFadden.
Imagine if we had to falsify the documents or lied on those documents, what would be said? A total investigation. Now, let's see how many times that the media spins this, as many times as they spin the inaccuracies or possible inaccuracies inside a detention center. Can we believe the reports now? A person admitted to me.
We have no proof.
My staff.
I don't have any proof.
In front of my lawyers. I lied. That is a statement that I'll never forget inside my detention center. So how can we trust whatever report they put out there? Do they need to be investigated? Absolutely. If we had done it, we would have been investigated.
All right. Let's do it. I agree. Investigate. Let's have a full investigation. Yeah, we'd love to hear from Mr. Brown, who you're accusing of being a racist, corrupt liar that folds under little pressure. Now, the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, which is the name of the agency that he has such a problem naming, they put out a statement and they said, ensuring that jails operate within state law and rules is a shared responsibility between county sheriffs and the NCDHHS's Division of Health Service Regulation. Staff are professional and experienced in doing these surveys for facilities across the state, and we have confidence in our team. We take all concerns raised by those we serve seriously and will review them appropriately. So, he's going to get that investigation that he seeks, but it's not his fault, everybody. Just ahead, none of this is his fault. It's all somebody else's fault. He is the victim. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.